Good morning. This is Pastor Irvin Schmidtke from the Free Lutheran Church of Roseau, Roseau, Minnesota, and the Norland Free Lutheran Church of Salo, Minnesota. Our mailing address is 1801 3rd Street Northeast, Roseau, Minnesota, 56751. The broadcast this morning is being paid for and sponsored in honor of all the mothers, and because this is Mother's Day, and therefore we would also like to say Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have been passionate to us and merciful to us to give us another day in which to worship you. I pray, O God, that you would be with this service, helping each one as we hear, that we would have our hearts and minds set on you. Those that don't have you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would turn to you, repent of their sins, and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. We pray a special prayer for the mothers in the world, that they too would call upon you and have you as their guide. A mother is one in which we know and trust in, and we know, O Lord, that you have been compassionate to each one of us by giving us mothers. We pray that you will be at the service now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us have special music by Rhonda Rothenberger.
On his mind.
being this is Mother's Day, we wish each one of you a happy Mother's Day. And I am not following the Pericope series this morning. I would like to read from Genesis, beginning at different verses. Genesis 1, starting at Genesis 1, 26, and then a few verses from Genesis 2 also. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then looking at Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, and then skipping down to 21 through 24. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We see here that God not only is the creator of the world, but he is also the creator of the human being, or of us human beings, and he did it in his own manner. He did it in the way in which we are created like him, and a splitting image of God the Father himself. We see when Eve was created, God put Adam to sleep. He said, after he had created the world, he said, "It is not good for Adam to be alone. Therefore, we will make a woman to be compatible with him and one that can help him." We see when Eve was made or created from the rib of Adam that she was not a child, she was not a daughter, she was not a maiden. She was not one in which had to be courted and asked if she would marry Adam. It was automatic. She was created in the fullness of womanhood, in the full bloom of the beauty of a lady. And in that, she was then a divine creature or creation made by God and given to Adam, and they lived in the Garden of Eden, which would be like paradise and a product then of divine creation. We can and we should understand what it takes to do that. And God said we would make woman to be compatible with the man. I think as men, we have to realize, and as Reinhold Holmes had written this very thing, be careful if you make a woman cry, because God counts her tears. The woman came out of a man's rib, not from his feet to be walked on, not from his head so she could be superior, but from the side so she would be equal, under the arm so he could protect her, next to the heart so man could love her. And this is written and very special, not only for mothers, but for women in general. We should realize that God made woman to be a helpmate for man, and in that we see that there are women in Scripture which God talks about and has in Scripture many, many of them. We find that God's blessing is upon them and that God used them throughout the ages, not only to help produce and make more people, but also to be a helpmate for their husbands. We can look at Sarah. We can look at Moses' mother. We can look at Miriam, Moses' sister. We can look at Pharaoh's daughter and many of these things that went on throughout the days ahead. Pharaoh's daughter seen Moses when she was going to take a bath in the Nile River. And she seen this basket and she heard this little baby's voice crying. She said, oh, one of the Hebrews is trying to save the men, because Pharaoh had said all the Hebrew men should be killed. Miriam was there watching the cradle, or watching that basket, and she says to Pharaoh's daughter, do you want me to get a woman of the Hebrews to bring up this child? And she said, yes. Pharaoh's daughter did not take and want to make light of Moses, but she let Moses' mother then keep him for about 3 or 4 months until he was weaned and then brought over and given to her as her own child. She seen that Moses had the best education that he could get under their tradition of that time. Moses lived then for 40 years, and then he killed an Egyptian soldier that had been harassing the Hebrews. A Hebrew seen it and chided Moses for it. Moses, getting scared, fled into the wilderness. God used him out there to train him for what he was to be used for. In that time, Moses married a woman from Midian, and they had some children. Moses, after 40 years in the wilderness and training under God, came back and led the Israelites out. And so it goes. We see Sarah later on, how she wanted to do what was right for Abraham. God blessed them and said that they would have a child. She was 90 years old when Isaac was born. And yet, which she found that trusting in God was the only way to do it. Mothers, we find, are nurses. We find mothers are compassionate people. We find mothers are teachers. We find mothers are maybe almost a doctor in many cases for their children. They listen. They are negotiators. They are intercessors for their children. It reminds me of a story one time that I heard, and this girl had broken one of her mother's finest china cups from her finest china. And she come crying, sincerely crying to her mother. And she says, Mom, I am sorry. I broke one of your cups for your fine china. The mother says, you're forgiven. And she swept up the pieces and threw them away. And then a little while later, the girl come crying again. Mom, I broke a cup from your finest china. And the mother looked at her and says, daughter, did you take the pieces out of the garbage can? And she said, yes. But she says, I got such good sympathy from you, I wanted some more. And we find many times the same thing happens to us. We know Jesus Christ came into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And in this, we come to Christ and we say, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me. And in tears and repentance, we ask God to have mercy on us and compassion on us that we have forgiveness of sins. God says, I forgive you. I remove your sins from you, and I remember them no more. Then all at once we come back, Lord God, I pray, would you forgive me for my sins? God says, I've already forgiven you. I have forgiven you for these sins that you keep bringing up. You see, Satan wants us to remember all the wrong that we ever did. And as we remember that wrong and dwell on that wrong, we cannot do the work of God. We cannot profess Christ the way we should. We cannot live for him the way we should. And we find that in this, Satan is hindering God's work because God has told us that I have forgiven you. And in Jesus Christ, because you believe he died on the cross, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven, he's making intercession for you today. Your sins are forgiven. Do not live in your past sins. You have left them at the cross. Leave them there. Do not go back and dig for them and bring them up. Satan would love to have you remember them so you do not do God's work. But if you leave them because God has forgiven you, you can continue doing his work in his way, and you have the peace of God which passes all understanding. We find that so very, very plain. We find, too, that in God's salvation, that he gives us not only salvation from sin, he gives us salvation for eternal life. We know Jesus rose from the dead to show us that there is life beyond the grave and that there is a second life in which we have immortality and we never, never die. We find that very much as we quoted John 3:16, but if you took that whole portion of scripture, you would find that God came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We find that God is love and that he has given to us his love so very, very much. If we were to look at some of the other people, we could look at the widow with which Elisha went to visit, and she was about to lose her home, and she was wondering what to do. And Elisha tells her to go and borrow all of the jars from all the neighbors that are empty. And she had a little bit of oil in her jar. And he says, go in and close the door and pour the oil from your jar into those empty jars. She filled up all those jars and still had oil left. Then Elisha tells her to sell the oil and pay her debt. And what was left, her and her sons could live on because she had enough to pay her debt. She found that God's mercy goes way beyond what we can imagine, goes way beyond what we would stand for, goes way beyond where we would even think of going or what we think of doing. We find that God, in his mercy, through women even, that he will take and lead us the way he should. We find mothers are teachers. They teach their children the ways in which to walk, the ways in which they should go. I like Proverbs chapter 31. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but portions of it. And I think they're very fitting for Mother's Day and for us to remember and think about the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. His mother was a teacher. And she taught this king the things that he should know and the things that he should do. Then we go on to verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife or one like the mother of this king? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We find that the virtuous woman would stand beside her man. And you've heard that song of stand by your man. He is the one that you come after. He's the one you're the helpmate for. He's the one that wants to take and protect you and also to love you and to see that only good comes to you. As we read on in this particular chapter, missing a few verses here, strength and honor are her clothing. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you, mothers, excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gates. We find that when that was written, the Proverbs there, that it's written praising women and what they do in the family and for the family, teaching the children the right way, bringing them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And as they bring them up and as they teach them, they also are there to sympathize when the children get hurt, but they know how to do it. They know how to intercede for their children or with their children if they find they're in trouble with the neighbor children or so forth and they're not getting along. Why is it? You must learn to love and to share as you go through life. And so the husband will be one in which he is proud of his wife. He will protect her. He will show her love and not be scared to show it to those round about that might see him giving affection to his wife, even in public places sometimes, to show that his care and his love for her is so great. We find one of a mother's prayer could go something like this one. Make me a wise mother, O Lord. Keep me calm and give me patience to bear the small, irritating things in the daily routine of life. Give me tolerance and understanding to bridge the gulf between my generation and that of my children. Let me not be too ready to guide my children's stumbling feet, but allow me to be ever near to bind their bruises. Give me a sense of humor that I may laugh with them, but never at them. And we find that so very, very true too. Let me refrain from preaching with words. Keep me from forcing their confidence, or in plain words, don't tell them, you must do this. Let their confidence build up that they would do what they're supposed to do. But give me a sympathetic ear when my children come to me. Help me to teach them that life must not be filled with compromises, but must be replete with victories. Make me humble. Keep my children close to me. O Lord, though miles may separate us, and let your light so shine upon me that they too will perceive me in all things and perceive you, that your will is done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and thank you for the mothers. Thank you for the Mother's Day message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rhonda? Keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.